This is a familiar passage from Mark chapter 11. It's the story of Jesus entering into Jerusalem on the Palm Sunday afternoon. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately.'" They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple, and when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. So a couple of farmers were discussing stewardship at their church and how much they wished they could do for the Lord, and they got onto the subject of tithing, and one of them asked the other, "Well, if you had 1,000 cows, would you give 100 of them to the Lord?" And he thought about it. He said, "Yes, I believe I would do that." "So if you had 500 cows, you would give 50 to the Lord?" Yes, I would. "And if you had 100 cows, you'd give 10 to the Lord?" "Yes, I would do that." "Well, I have one more question. Suppose you only had 10 cows. Would you give one to the Lord?" "Now that's not fair. You know I have 10 cows." We've been considering stewardship all month, and our thesis has been that stewardship isn't just a matter of what we do with our money, but it involves all of life. And I want to thank John Higginbotham and Jordan Meadus and Bud Moody for their presentations these past 3 weeks. We've thought about the stewardship of time, the stewardship of talent, and the stewardship call that God has for all of us here at Lake of the Woods Church. 3 weeks ago, John reminded us that if we believe God is really in charge of our lives, in charge of our schedules, then we can dare to believe that the interruptions we find so irritating are actually opportunities from Him for us to participate in wonderful and surprising and sometimes even miraculous moments of grace. Like the Samaritan rescuing the guy who'd been beaten half to death and left dying in the ditch. Or even like John going to visit Brian in his camper at Graves Mountain Lodge. John asked, "What keeps us on the wrong side of the road?" Like the priest and the Levite who didn't help the guy in the ditch. Is it apathy? Is it worry or worldliness or lack of surrender? Or is it that we just haven't made Jesus fully the Lord of our time? And 2 weeks ago, Jordan shared his conviction that each and every one of us has been given gifts from God, gifts and talents that he expects us to develop to their fullest potential so we can better serve him and bless each other. Whether that's by singing in the choir, working with children, building a ramp for somebody who's in a wheelchair, taking a turn at the Living Waters Clinic. Scripture says, whatever you do, put yourself into it as work done for the Lord, for you know that it is from Him you will receive your reward. And then last week, Bud Moody, chairman of our Board of Elders, reminded us that we're surrounded by opportunities to be good stewards of both time and talent, and our ministry fair showcased just a few of the dozens of outreach projects and ministry opportunities here in Locust Grove and the greater Fredericksburg area, and literally across the country and around the world. You know, when I was in Florida, I worked with exactly 100 churches, and I have never before seen a church so mobilized for ministry as this one is. It's a tremendous privilege to be part of what God is doing here. And I thank Him for those who have laid the foundations for those ministries, especially Pastor Tom Schaefer, who articulated a vision that LOWC should be incarnational and missional, which means mobilized for mission. So stewardship in this broader sense is often compared to a three-legged stool: time, talent, and treasure. And I would take just a few minutes this morning to think about the stewardship of treasure. On the eve of what we so ironically call his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, we find Jesus sending out two disciples to borrow a colt for him to ride on. And if anyone asks you, why are you doing this, say, the Lord has need of it. Now, you've got to stop right there. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. He doesn't really need it. Amen? Amen? Say that with me. He doesn't really need it. He could have walked. A legion of angels could have transported him. Or he could have simply showed up in downtown Jerusalem as he did in the upper room on Easter evening when locked doors couldn't keep him out. If he could walk on water, I'm pretty sure he could have done that even before the resurrection. But instead, think about this. He gave somebody the honor, the privilege of having his or her donkey borrowed for that poignant, that bittersweet descent down the slopes of the Mount of Olives, across the Kidron Valley, and up through the Golden Gates into the city of Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday. If he'd asked for your donkey, would you have lent it to him? If he stopped by this afternoon and said, I need to borrow your car, I'm driving to Richmond, how would you respond? That, dear friends, is the stewardship question. Yeah. Is what he's entrusted to us available to him to use as he sees fit? Is what he has entrusted to you and me, our time, our talents, whatever they may be, and our treasure, is it available to him to use as he sees fit? A steward is one who manages that which belongs to somebody else. David said, all things come from you, O Lord. Amen. And of your own have we given you. How many things?
All
things come from you, O Lord. And we're giving you back what is already yours. God doesn't need anything from us in an ultimate sense. But he's chosen to make himself dependent upon us to a significant degree so that we have the privilege of participating with him in accomplishing his purposes. It's for our sake. It's for our sake. So I want to underscore three things that we've considered previously regarding the stewardship of talent. Number one, God expects us to tithe. Thank you, Bill, for reminding us. Malachi is really the principal passage, but it's one of hundreds of passages that talk about tithing. And Bill reminded us, God says, will anyone rob God? But you are robbing me. How are we robbing you? By not bringing in the full tithes. To do less than that is to rob God. And he says you are under a curse. Wait a minute. Whoa. The whole nation of you. And then he says something remarkable. I don't know of anything else in the scripture that is quite like this. He says, put me to the test. Bring in the full tithe. Put me to the test and see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour down upon you an overflowing blessing. Now, don't misunderstand. This is not the prosperity gospel. He is not saying put in your money and you'll get more money back. It might be financial blessing. It might be other kinds of blessing. But put me to the test and see. God promises I'm going to bless you in ways you can't imagine. Some people will say, you know, that's all Old Testament. That's law. We're not under law. We're under grace. And praise God, that's true. We're under grace. But that simply means that we understand that keeping the law isn't going to save us. Jesus saves us. That doesn't mean God has abandoned the law. Not stealing, not murdering, not committing adultery isn't going to save us either. But God doesn't say, well, now that you're a Christian, go do all those things. He doesn't say that. Jesus himself said, don't think I've come to abolish the law. I haven't come to abolish, I've come to fulfill it. People say, well, didn't he set aside the law when he said, you've heard it said, but I say to you, yeah, well, check it out. Every single time he did that, he upped the ante. Yeah. He didn't lower it. He said, you've heard it said, don't steal. I say, don't covet. Yeah. In the sight of God, coveting is stealing. You wish you could, even if you don't have the courage to do it. You've heard it said, don't murder. I say, whoever hates his brother, his sister, has murdered him in his heart. You've heard it said, don't commit adultery. I say to you, don't lust at somebody else's spouse. Jesus didn't lower the standard. He raised it every single time. At one point, he castigated the Pharisees, who, by the way, were scrupulous tithers. And he said, woe to you, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin. In other words, the tiniest amounts you tithe. And in the process, you've neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. So there are bigger and more important things than tithing. But listen, his next sentence is this. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. Do the weightier things. Do the more important things. But don't neglect tithing. For many people, getting from where they are right now to the full tithe is a significant challenge. Bill shared with us it was for him and for Bobby. If that's the case, set yourself a game plan. You can do it in 2 or 3 steps, or even take 10. Go up by 1% per year if you have to. I'll bet you can get there faster than you expect. Are we talking about tithing to the local church? No, I'm not. That's my discipline, and I think I can make a case for it. Tithe to the local church and give your offerings to other ministries as God directs. But that's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about tithing to the Lord and letting him direct you how you should apportion it. Some people are very suspicious of stewardship sermons because, after all, I'm asking you to give to the church and the church pays my salary. Listen, if you don't give one penny to Lake of the Woods Church, in one sense, that is perfectly okay by me. I don't want you to be under a curse. I want you to enter into the blessing that God has promised. And if you're willing to be obedient to that, I will trust him to direct you where you give your tithe. Number two, God loves a cheerful giver. The word cheerful in Greek is hilaron, from which we get hilarious. And a number of the translations put it that way. God loves a hilarious giver. Getting to the tithe can be challenging, but God doesn't want it to be daunting, doesn't want it to be onerous. He wants it to be an adventure. And as I said, you're going to be surprised that you can get there much faster than you think. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, the point is this, the one who spares, who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your own mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion. Don't do it because I said so. Do it because you love Jesus and you want to be in accord with the Word of God. For the last 3 years, I have championed the giving, the making of written pledges although we have stipulated that they don't need to be signed because the issue isn't who's giving what. The issue was we wanted to know approximately what the resources were going to be for the coming year so the Board of Elders could make responsible decisions about program and outreach. But for whatever reason, and I suspect there are several reasons, a lot of people here have been reluctant to use written pledges. One member of the board said, I've never been in a church where we had written pledges. Another said, it's not in our DNA. Okay, I've never been in a church where we didn't have written pledges, but we've made the decision not to push that anymore. If you don't want to do written pledges, we won't do written pledges, but please do consider hilarious giving. It used to be said, give until it hurts, and then somebody turned that around and said, give until it stops hurting. And I want to go one further than that. Give until it hurts to stop. Give until it's the point, I wish I could do more. Bud Moody asked us last week, are we doing enough? With all that is happening, and it's incredible how much is happening, are we doing enough? Give until it hurts to stop. And then number three, I want to come to a marvelous story in the book of Exodus. Chapter 35, you can go back and read it for yourself sometime. But I want to put it into perspective. God gave the Ten Commandments in just 16 verses. And then he spent the next 15 chapters giving detailed instructions how to build the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, the place where he promised to meet the children of Israel as they came to worship him and give him their praises. Evidently, that was pretty important to him. 15 chapters. And now it was the time to begin its construction, and through his servant Moses, God issued a call, whoever is of a generous heart, contribute what you can for building it. And listen to the way Scripture reports their response. Exodus 35. They came, everyone whose heart was stirred and everyone whose spirit was willing. Verse 21. So they came, both men and women, all who were of a willing heart, brought brooches and earrings and signet rings and pendants, all sorts of gold objects, everyone bringing an offering of gold to the Lord. Verse 23. Yarn, linen, goat's hair, ram's skins, leather, silver, bronze, onyx, gems, spices, and oil, whatever they had, they brought. All the women whose hearts moved them spun the goat's hair. Verse 26. All the men and women whose hearts made them willing brought free will offerings for the work the Lord had commanded. Verse 29. And the story concludes with this statement. They kept bringing him free will offerings until Moses finally proclaimed, no more! All the people were restrained from bringing, for what they had already brought was more than enough to do the work. That's the goal. That God's people here at Lake of the Woods Church will trust him enough, trust his promises enough, that we will dare to tithe and see what happens. That we'll move beyond that to hilarious giving, and that we won't stop until we've brought more than enough to do all the work. The mission of the Lake of the Woods Church is to worship God, witness to his saving love in Jesus Christ, teach and preach the gospel to all ages effectively, be a ministering community through Christ, reconciling people to God and to each other in all the world, especially in Lake of the Woods and the surrounding communities. But that's not our mission, that's his mission. And he could do that without our help, but he's chosen not to. And he's asked to borrow your donkey and mine for this particular ride. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for all the promises of your blessing when we're obedient. Thank you for the testimony that Bill shared with us. Thank you for all the reminders in Scripture that we can't even begin to outgive you, that all things come from you, and it's of your own that we're giving you back. So give us courage, Lord, to dare to believe you in this and every other area of our lives, and to become the good stewards that you call us to be, for Jesus' sake. Amen.